Drone, you know, that's why the little boy says, don't go in there, fella. Get your bottle and take it home, drink like a gentleman. Don't be so careful. Get the pint, take it home. And after a while, the little guy says, hey, fella, you going to the liquor store too often. You better get yourself a fit so you don't have to go there so often. So that guy just kept me busy. So I, again, each day, I think of the things that have happened to me. Something must have happened, or else I wouldn't be here. If I could have managed my drinks, I wouldn't have been here. I wouldn't see the, my sponsor wouldn't have came for me. So I, every once in a while, I think about my the episode at the hotel downtown. That was a dangerous one. Well, man, I got high that night. I shook the boys, run the guy off the elevator, went up and kicked the door on the guest's door, cussed him out, you know. Climbed back down, and that old spinning door there, I just made it almost jump out the socket. Yeah, throw the cusper doors and big brass cusper doors there all over. Come back, you don't know nothing about it. Yeah, I want to beat this great big cop. The biggest cop was on the police force at that time. That traffic cop down, he used to work the high street, named Big Mun. I guess some of you might know him. The biggest cop, I want to rip him. You know, I'm a bad guy. Boy, oh boy. So, when that guy called me the next day, he said, I overslept, you know, nothing unusual, you know. He said, come here, Billy, I'd like to talk to you. Sure. He said, if I were you, I'd never take another drink. I said, why? Oh, then he went on to tell me what all that did. Boy, it makes you feel awful bad that you did all those things. Well, I watched my step. I didn't know that. 1921, that happened. Just continued on. I remember we'd get these new automobiles, you know. And I remember we got this 1931 Chevrolet. And they said you can hit the dirt with it at 70 miles an hour. Sure you could, you know. I'd throw her off, bring her back on the dirt. Well, I got the garage, I like the painters. Painting about suppose the tire would have blowed. I'd still been in the air out there. Those are the kind of capers a man, that false courage a man gets, you know. Send me out on a hospital trip. Remember one occasion? I went out there and went way up around Hudson to bring a man home. I down to the hospital and something exploded and he was in a bad shape. And I don't know, I wonder he didn't turn me in, but I couldn't hold my eyes. Don't when I'd wake up, it, you know, by the car going off the road, it would wake me up. I had sense enough not to drive fast. But that's one time I was really scared. It didn't look like that I could make it to the garage. I was just that sleepy. I was just worn out. Yes, you have those things. It makes you think back. You know, the thing about it, so many things happen to you when you're sober. When you get sober, about 3 days afterwards, you know. Here I am, you know, I'm busy, you know, writing up clips and all at once, old Hank. Grab it. Hold on there, fella. Take your time. And I try to hold it, you know, right? Turn him loose, grab him again, you know. A guy, if he bought a bottle of Coca-Cola and did you that way, or orange pop, what would you do? You'd be walking his feet now, trying to get a lawyer to sue the company. Those are the kind of things that makes me think about what I, the punishment that I took. 30-some years ago. And I consider myself a smart cookie, too. Oh, yes, was nothing I didn't know. And if I want to know something, ask me something, boy, ask me something. I can tell you, yeah. See Bill Dollar, he can tell you. Yeah, I've got a good job. Somebody likes me, always got a pretty good job. At the job, I was one of the first guys to open up the employment service. And they told me that I'd have a permanent job there. The man's more than me. But you know, my drinking, I didn't feel it was my drinking. But he had a nice way to ease me out. The guy knew I was an alcoholic. He says, "Look here, Bill, I tell you what I can do. You know, the country's wet now, and they're getting ready to open up these state liquor stores. And I'm going to get you a job as manager in one of them stores." I said, "That's fine." So now we're going to pay you a month's wages, which they did. "So you can be ready to step in, you know, start your training period." "Okay." And then, lo and behold, I got it all figured out. Now, you see, they got, being the manager of that, I have to check all the breakage and everything. So I got me some of them filters. When I was doing, now the thing, now, they had it all set up. As long as that their government stamp wasn't touched, you could send it in as a loan. Boy, I was going to break bottles like nobody could. I had it all planned, never to buy no liquor. So, I didn't get that job. But I did get another job with the state. And, you know, I drank there. I never will forget. This poor innocent woman chose this very nice man, you know. She says, "Why can't you be a nice guy like Talbot?" And Talbot couldn't even stand still, you know. I always had something I got to put a catch on. She sent me down to pay the printing bills, you know, $5 or $10, you know. I used to go, lady, always paid up to her, you know. She's very good. I get a $5 check, a $10 check, you know, advance, you know. And she just thought I was fine, you know. So one day I had to, I needed money bad. And I just figured, now, look here, something has happened to me. I'll tell you what scared me. I went to lay down, you know. And when I got ready to get up, I couldn't get up. I just
went to pull and fall right back down.
Boy, I never been like this before. And I'm, as I say, I'm not drunk. I've just been on this bench for a long time. Go to get up, I said, "Well, I better go on back home." Oh, boy. You know, I don't believe when you get like that and no perspiration breaks out on you, start to sting, I believe you can run a skunk out of his hole. I could. My goodness. Any time a guy gets so he can't stand himself, go in the bathroom, he has to run out himself. You know, he's in pretty bad shape. Boy. I wonder what I drink. But those things, that's there. So, I ramble on, yes. You know, my last big binge is my son was coming home from the army. It was in November, so I decided I would celebrate his coming home. It wasn't nothing wrong about starting a week ahead of time, which I did. So when he got home, I was pretty well plastered. But the siege didn't end until about the 4th of January. And I sobered up. And about a week, I'm imagining, maybe not quite a week, these alcoholic spasms come back on me. So I'm standing there looking out the window. I run the conveyor there on the paint line, the Goodyear aircraft, looking out the window. My hands draw up. And I try to straighten them out. They don't straighten. Then the quivers start in my legs go dead, you know. I got my feeling back into them. It doesn't come. Then this slow, creeping deadness comes. Then it gets up and around the old kicker, and she's back. Then the thought comes to me, this is the way a man feels when he's dying, especially when the lights commence to grow dim and dimmer. Yes, there's a God, because you start to call on God again, please don't let me die. Don't let me die. Walking around the table, afraid to fall because we have so many material there that I might fall in. I asked a guy to bring me a glass of water. I'm a very sick man. He just laughed. Brings an old cup that we have, put them little paintbrushes in. Just laughing. I said, I'm a sick man. They take me down to the hospital. Once in there, doctor came over and looked at me. The nurse says, we better do something for him. See, that's my second trip before that doctor. The first trip I went in there, I tell you, this is a little humorous, you know. I'm laying in there and I'm pleading for him to Don't let me die. And this good nurse comes up to me. I don't know what she's got in that old hypodermic needle. And I said, oh, no, please don't. Please, oh, man, I pleaded to her not to give me that. It won't hurt you, Bill. You know why I didn't want it? After 3 months drunk, man, you don't have no resistance. I didn't have any. If I went to sleep, that was just curtains, and I knew that. I tell you what happened. I fell up on Arlington Street there, on Arlington and 6th, and maybe Frank knew that guy. I know he knows the family. But anyhow, one Sunday, this guy was raving. Oh, just raving. She called the doctor. The doctor come out there and quiet my husband for me. He's just raving. He did. He's still quiet. It's been a number of years ago. He's still quiet. I didn't want that to happen to me. And I knew it would happen to me. So, but after that, you know, as I say, I'm going to quit. But this particular time, the last time the doctor was taking me, he said, look here, maybe let's send him to the city hospital. He says, nothing can be did for this man. Jaw's gone numb, this guy's gone dead. He said, Bill, is anybody at your house? I said, yes. Yeah. My children is there. I said, do you have money to pay for an ambulance? I said, yeah. And they called Edwards. And they came. Now, I wonder. This is something I'll never forget. You know, when the ambulance pulled up, my three kids at the door, opened the door, and then they stood. And I said, what shall we put for that? They pointed upstairs. After they took me upstairs, they came to the foot of the bed, and those kids guys stood there and stared at me, looked at me. Not a word would pass. Nothing I could say. You know, at times I could give an excuse or say that I'm sorry, I would never do it again. Even a tear wouldn't come. Then it gave me a thought. I looked at my young daughter, and I remembered her asking me for 50 cents. I told her, I'd just give you a dollar a few days ago. You think I'm made out of money? And the same thought came to me about just when I go out, I meet some guy, said, I'd like to meet a friend of mine here from Chicago. Well, hello, Jim. I'm the Big Joe, Big Bill, you know. And I'll spend $10 on that guy, but I wouldn't give my wife a dollar. Probably I'd get two or three from her. I make out that I'm broke. I take them up there, I give her $60. And said, now you see, honey, I'll give you my money. I got 40 bucks to cash down the money. Yeah. And come back to her and said, honey, you better let me have $2 because I don't want to go downtown, bro. That's the kind of conniver I was. You know what I wanted to happen? My wife wasn't there, but when she came, I was hoping she would say, take that man out of here. I don't want him. Take him away. My conscience was whipping me just that bad. This time, for some reason, I knew I wasn't going to die. What I didn't know was I was going to be an invalid. I was going to be a guy in a wheelchair. And I could see my wife coming in, coming up the steps in the evening after doing her day work, then rolling me inside. I could see the neighbors coming by and saying, how do you feel, Mr. Tomlinson? So shortly after she came, the doctor came. He examined me. And he asked me, did I chew or did I smoke? I shook my head, yes. He says, that's your trouble. The nicotine gets into your bloodstream and acts like water and oil in a hose. Then my wife says, doctor, tell him about that whiskey. And the doctor says, a little drink won't hurt him. So, you know, oh, sorrowful Bill. John, I'm laying there and I say, you don't have to worry about me. I'll never take another drink as long as I live. 2 weeks later, I died again. I died more times, I guess, than any individual. So, what happened? Then, I got up. I'd go around places. God said, have a drink. Oh, I said, man, didn't you hear about it? Man, that liquor likes to kill me. Well, I wouldn't take a drink. I ain't. All the tea in China. Man, don't mess with whiskey to me. No. And my friend said, no, Bill, you quit now. You quit. Yes, sir. So one day I came down, got off the bus, you know. I'm going up Main Street. I ain't going on Harvard Street. But I don't know what happened, but I got that little funny taste, you know. And my mouth got a little shaky, you know. So I said, I believe I'm going to have that, take a little drink. And, you know, the doctor said it wouldn't hurt me. Sure enough, started on. Now I want to tell you, Father Sonny. You know, we often say about going around these bars. But that what started me off real good. I never will forget this. I went in this down at the American Legion then was on the corner of Federal and Howard. So I went in there and I got me a couple. I was drinking Coke. So this gal comes in there, woman rather attractive woman, says we're talking. And she says, do you know my husband? I said, no, I don't believe I do. She said, he's a bellhop up there, man. I said, that young kid doing it? Sure. You know, come here, she's kidding. I said, you my God, young. Yeah. I said, how old are you? She said, I'm 45. I said, oh my God. I said, yeah. Huh? So what are you going to do when he's just 45? You know, you can't tell in a conversation like that on coke. So I come and sit me a few doubles too, you know. Boy, my family liked to fall out when I fell in that door. And, you know, I drank for about 2 weeks. And then that was the fastest 2 weeks, I believe. I mean, it did me more damage than I was just completely going haywire. In other words, I couldn't sleep without a drink. I have to have one to eat. I have to have it to go to work. So, yeah, just about a day or two before that, I was in the bar. And I happened to look into the mirror. And it seemed like the old mayor talked back to me. And it says, as long as you live, you'll have to have a drink of whiskey. And that was so true. So true. I just had to have it. Then it says again, you know, you're nervous. I had a Lee hat on. It says, you bought your last Lee hat. You've got your last job. If you lose this one, you'll never get another one. All that unfolded to me. And the worst part of it seemed me, I seen myself a tramp. I seen myself on Howard Street. And on this particular cold night, somehow or another, it was one of those stoves with isinglass all in it. And I could see the red light. I'm outside and I look in and I see all the warmth. I break in this place. Not to steal, but to keep warm. That's what I seen. Now, I never heard anything about Alcoholics Anonymous or anything. But on a Monday morning, I see a fellow that I know pretty well. And I stop this guy. I said, hey, come here, fellow. I said, do you belong to Alcoholics Anonymous? He says, why, do you have a drinking problem? I said, I don't have no drinking problem, but I see that you're sober, and I just figured that you might have a sort of an alcoholic problem. You know, I mean, you might belong to it. And he says, if you have a problem, why, I'd like to talk to you. I started to say, oh, somebody says you better talk. I said, yes, I was out over the weekend, you know, and I had this been Sunday, and I'm a little nervous. I've been up on ours and got myself a couple of shots. He said, well, how about coming down to see you? I said, sure, come down. He said, well, I'll be down tonight. I said, oh, no, not tonight. I got a watch, boy. That's one thing I couldn't carry. Somebody had it the next morning. I didn't have it. So I says, no, don't come till not tonight. I said, well, what about tomorrow night? Well, I says, that's my wife's prayer meeting night, Tuesday night. I said, what about the Wednesday night? I says, that's my payday. You know, I've got to go to town and pay my bill. Mm-hmm. Then it comes to me, I only had a couple more nights left. So these two guys came. One sat on one side, one sat on the other. And the other fellow did the most of talking. But all through his talk, every once in a while, he was my pattern also. Then he would ask me such questions as these. Did you ever pray? Why, sure, I prayed. He said, I don't mean a prayer like you pray, but I mean a sincere prayer. For instance, he says to me that you say the Lord's Prayer, you ask Him to give you this day your daily bread, and He gives it to you, and He adds so much more. Did you ever think of thanking? No. I've never heard anybody make such a suggestion of thanking. I've heard all the years to give me prayers, but I've never, until then, heard of thanking. He says, well, you try that. Then he says to me, do you think you could stay sober for one day? Oh, I just jumped right up. Sure, you know. And he said, that's all that's necessary. Boy, that's right. He said, you can't get drunk tomorrow if you wanted to. Yesterday you can't do nothing about it. It made sense. Mm-hmm. Then he told a little story. He told him about he and his wife walking down the street, and he seen a guy was playing imaginary baseball, just donuts, you know. And his wife said, hey, you see that guy there? He said, yes, I see him. She said, it won't be long before you'll be catching for him. And I had seen a guy down on Harvard Street doing exactly the same thing. Then he asked me, would I go to a meeting with him on Sunday? I went to this meeting. Now, this man that led the meeting had spent about $45,000, his wife and his mother's money. And I followed that guy. I even crawled in the same dirty sheets he crawled. I walked up the same filthy stairways in the same bootleg joint, just following this guy. Now, some would say, about the guy, what impression did you get out of a man having $45,000 and you have 45 cents? It left us both in the same condition, broke. And he'd worked up, so he was going to get such as a vice presidency or some kind. Anyhow, the job paid quite a bit of dough. So, while he's getting his tuxedo pressed, he decides that he would go in Stone's Grill and have a drink. But when he got in there, the little fella pegged him on the side of the head and said, don't do that. Get yourself a pint and take it home with you. Then just before you get ready to come down to the Mayflower, take yourself a slug. He took the pint home, but he never made it to the Mayflower. If men of that intelligence needed a program, and it didn't, and they had their trouble, surely a guy like me would have the same thing. Then I liked about what my sponsor says one day, because I've always figured, what am I going to do when my brother comes? What am I going to do on my birthday? What am I going to do on Thanksgiving? By living this one day, it eliminated that. Because he says, you don't know whether you're going to have a Thanksgiving. You don't know whether you're going to have a tomorrow. So the best thing to do tonight when you go to bed, When the good Lord hangs out of his stars and everything for his tomorrow, ask him to include you in it. Well, I followed that fellow's pattern. I haven't had any trouble. Of course, I've had a few desires for a drink. But I know this. Solomon never wants a drink. He wants a quart. He gets a quart, he wants 2 quarts. You know, I go to the hospital. I visit that hospital. And I see some fellow in there. Reason why I go to that hospital, the last thing my sponsor says to me, when you get sober, take this message to someone else. Then you stay sober. You know, I've tried that. And boy, it works. You don't know what man's life you're going to save. As I say, there's been times, you know, that I feel pretty bad myself. And it seems like when I get the hunch to go to that hospital, my burdens are lightened and things happen. And that little prayer of faith is so true. You know, when I came in here, I was a doubtful Joe. Now I hear these guys say, I did so-and-so. One guy takes up prayer and I said, now that guy's lying. Says a friend of his came up and says, you know, my car was out of whack and I didn't have no car. And says, this guy he was going to get a new car. And said, this was a good pastor, too, he let me have. And, you know, that guy said, come on, didn't he pay me any time? I said, I don't believe that. To myself. That's why I say I cried today. One night up here at the, St. Thomas meeting. And I was going down around by that piano. The fellow walked up to me, patted me on the shoulder, said, hey, Bill, if you want a car, come on out. You don't have to worry about the notes or anything. I said, yeah. You know, when this guy was telling me about sad tears of gratitude, I laughed. What do you think I was, a sissy? Here's a guy telling me I'm trying to build a place to have a business, and he tells me, take it up with the good Lord. Ain't that it? He's the contractor. I've just mortgaged my home to get the money. Take it up with the good Lord. And they said, look here, Bill. If you don't get it, whatever he does, you'll find out it'll be good. You know what happened to me? About a month after that, I had a stroke. And I didn't work all that year. And if I hadn't, if I'd have got that building, I'd have lost everything I had. And also, that boy of mine would have been running a pool room. He went on to Kent State and got an education. He got a good one. Got a good job. You don't see these blessings overnight or 2 years or 3 years. You know, I walk these streets for 3 years with dizziness, looking to drop most any time. There's always a guy in AA who would tell you to keep on walking. Ain't nothing you can do about it. So true. Get ready to get on a bus, and I get so dizzy I step back. Couldn't cross the street. Not for 2 months after I got sober. For 3 or 4 years, I can tell you that. I had to run. But it was always good. It was better than I had it before. You know, you have to sometimes do some kind of circumstances. It looks bad, but the good things can happen to you. I'm not saying this just to be a braggart or anything, but I'd like to tell you to hold on when you have the faith to hold on. It might take 3 years or 4 years. But the things I'm telling you sound silly, but it's a fact. Now take, for instance, my boy called me up one morning, warned me one day, said, send me $100. I don't have no $100. But the fact that he warned me for $100 is the reason I have my gas station. I called the guy and said, lend me $100 to Friday. Then I went upstairs and I called up, I'd seen this gas station. Then I called up this friend of mine. He says, anytime I can do you a favor, I said, you just call me, regardless of what it is. And the man happened to be a friend, a fellow that was really able to do the favor. He says, how much money do you want, Bill? I started to say $5,000. Now, you see, you've got to be truthful. Because the thing had only cost me $3,000, Bill. And I told him $3,000. He says, yes, Bill, sure you can get it. I said, I'll be over there. He said, don't come at me. He said, I'll bring it to you. Sunday morning, I'm going home. He lives outside of Washington. He's at his home. Said, I'm going home, then I'll bring it to you. I told my wife that. My wife said, you believe that? I said, I certainly do. I told some of the boys at the aircraft. Said, you believe that? Man, you are nuts. And they went around and laughed. Said, you know, Thomas, he's gone batty. Just as batty as a guy can be. Yeah, I said, go ahead, man, you're crazy. Now, you tell me, look here, that somebody's going to fly here from Washington, if you said he's going to meet you someplace, but a man flying here in an airplane, to lend you $3,000, you just as crazy as me. Well, you know, he got me to believe him a little bit. So Monday came. Here's my wife, sweet, just ironing. Jay, I'm getting a little too long, but I'll be right off in a minute. So when Monday came, my wife, you know, she's ironing, you know how women are. She said, have you heard from your friend yet? I said, no, I haven't heard from him yet. So she has to go in the basement. And so just then my phone rang, and I'm upstairs, and I got an extension, and I answered the phone. She said, Bill, I'm in Pittsburgh. And he said, where will I meet you when I get to Akron? I told him at the Maple. He came. When I came down, she asked me again. I said, yes, he'll be here at 12 o'clock. I left. He ain't kidding no more. So we came in. I brought the gentleman out to the house, you know, and he sat down. And we talked. Just before they got ready to leave, he asked for a book. And he took out his pen and his checkbook. And he wrote a check. I didn't ask him about how much it was. I thought it was handed to my wife. He did. She liked to pay him for $6,000. So that's the way I got married. Now the thing, what I want to tell you about going to the hospital, that man had a business worth $22 million. He was the son who was to take it over. And he was a mining engineer. He was a very bright man. But he was a confirmed alcoholic. He just as soon as get on a boat and go around the world is to stay home. What happened to this man was this. When his father died, his uncle took over. Then his uncle died, and it fell his lot to take the business because he knew the business. But he knew his condition, that he wasn't able to handle. So he came to St. Thomas Hospital. As I walked in the door, he got up to a fellow and he walked over and threw him. He says, I don't think I'm going to make it. I don't think I'm going to make it. He says, one thing I know, I can't drink whiskey. Then he walked over to me. He says, I don't think I am making it. I don't think I'm making it. I said, oh, yes, you will. You've got it late. You said the right thing right over there. He said, you can't drink whiskey, and that's it. So we sat down and we talked. But I didn't know this. When that man got back to his home in Pennsylvania, I mean to his business in Pennsylvania, his sister and brother had erased that name of the president off the door. Everything that belonged to him in that office was wheeled out into the aisleway. And the thing that I told him is what some other individual told me in AA. Have faith and God will take care of the situation. You don't have to worry. Sure enough, that fellow, the government sent him to Germany for a year. When he come back, in some way or another, I think he has about 4 or 5 minds now. His business is of the type, he don't even have to have a salesman to sell his coat. Because some of these big firms is using it just as fast as he can get it out to him. Now, I don't say to tell you these things that that it's a Mr. B, but whatever it is, hold on to it, because you'll make the grade. Financially, of my own, I don't have $5. That's a fact. If I were to pay my debts, I can't even pay them. But I make it just the same. Yes, I do. We'll have chicken tomorrow. God knows whether we'll have money, but we'll have something. The reason why I'm having chicken tomorrow, the little youngsters from England. Chicken over there is about 90 cents a pound. And them little fellas are really eating because they lived out of the commissary and it's very expensive. Now you take those people, and my son was telling me, they eat one egg, the Englishman. 1 pound of meat can last them for a week. So that's the type of diet they had. But they didn't have it because they with the United States government. His house rent cost him $150 a month. That's the way they take over Americans. So now I've talked, and I really hope that I did someone some good. Now, what I want to bring, you know, when I worked at that aircraft, there's a guy every Sunday, and I'm shaking like nobody's business, and this guy didn't drink. He'd have a fifth of whiskey in his car, and I'd ask him for it. For a while, I'd pay him the price what he paid in the liquor store. So one Sunday, that boy got wise to himself, and he shook that whiskey bottle at me like this. I said, "You want that whiskey? If you don't, I'll buy it from you." He shook it at me and said, "What is it worth to you?" When it got to, I paid that guy $6.50 for that fifth of whiskey. But what that guy don't know, I would have paid him $20 for that bottle of whiskey. Just as easy as I would $6. That's how much. So today I'm going to ask you, what is this program worth to you? Figure it out. To me, it's worth everything. You are the most important person I know of, is you. Anything that I get, I must get it from you. It has been a period of time in my life that I thought the old buck got it, but I have to see you to get that buck. And if I want to spend that buck, I still got to come back to you. Regardless of how much I have, if I want a suit of clothes, I've still got to ask you. As long as I can keep that other man in front of me, worship him in the spirit of doing unto him as I would have another man to do unto me, I'll make it. Regardless of who he is or where he comes from or his station in life. God made every man, when I say equal, he gives seasoned guys a different job. One might be a mechanic, the other might be a floor sweeper. But every one of them's an important person. You are important. You know, this program has made me feel, I couldn't really express it, but I want to tell you this. I appreciate everything I mean to bid. I mean appreciate it. Now, I do. And I want to thank you, Cole, for inviting me down here. And I can go back and tell Eddie. You know that Ed boy, Eddie Bracken? You know, he worked for me for a while. And he went around and told people all I fed him was peanut butter and crackers. I did, too. That's what I fed him. He got glad his jaws coming puffing out. He didn't have that before. Then he said to me, if I come out and did anything about it, this time next year I'd have a groundhog for my mailman. Now, that wasn't very nice, but I tell you one thing. If my sponsor hadn't came by, I probably would have had a groundhog for a mailman. Thank you.